And do please take your Bibles and turn with me, first of all, to the Old Testament, to the book of Leviticus. And Leviticus chapter 13. It's on page 111, page 111. We're just going to read a few verses from Leviticus chapter 13, and these will tie in with what we're going to look at in Mark. And you'll see that the whole chapter has to do with leprosy. So as we read through these verses in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, just be thinking, what kind of disease is leprosy? And what disease do we all have that leprosy is like? Because that's what this healing is also going to tell us about. So Leviticus chapter 13, and beginning to read at the first verse. This is God's word. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priests. The priest shall look at the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall look at him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. And then look down to halfway through verse 6. Then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. And then if you turn over with me, a good bit further on through the chapter, just two other verses, verse 45 and 46. Now the leper, that's the one in whom has been found this disease, leprosy. The leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his moustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His habitation shall be outside the camp. Then turn over with me to Mark now, with that background in mind. And let's look at Mark chapter 1, at verse 40. And this is on page 969. Page 969, Mark chapter 1, at verse 40. Then a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every quarter. Amen. May God bless to us these readings from his own infallible word. Do please turn with me in your Bibles to those verses from Mark that we read together earlier. Leprosy was a very common disease in Bible times. And the word that's used for leprosy actually covers more than one disease. Sometimes leprosy in the Bible means just a skin infection, with redness, with flaking, but something that's not dangerous, something that will clear up by itself. However, at other times, the leprosy in the Bible is serious. Miriam, the sister of Moses, was struck with leprosy, and she would have died from it if God hadn't healed her. Today, the name for the serious form of leprosy is Hansen's disease. And it's this form that this poor man has. Mark simply tells us he's a leper. In Luke's account of the same story, we learn that he's full of leprosy. Have you ever seen a leper? Maybe not in the flesh, but maybe in a film from Africa or India where there are still lepers. Let me just show you a picture. And let me just warn you, it is quite gruesome. That's a lady suffering from leprosy. As far as I can tell, she's maybe even suffering from both forms. There are two forms of Hansen's disease. And one form is where brown lumps or sores appear on the body, on the face. The skin of the face, certainly in this case, the skin of this lady's face has become stretched so that she doesn't look like a human being anymore. She looks almost more like an animal. And it affects your eyes. It affects your nose so that sometimes the nose begins to disappear. It affects your throat so that you can't talk properly anymore. Now that's one form. But maybe the one that you know more about is to do with the nerve endings. The nerve endings of the hands and the feet especially are affected by it so that you don't feel pain anymore. You're numb rather than sore, so that you can put your hand in the fire, or boiling water could be poured on your hand and you wouldn't feel it. You might think that's a good thing, but it's not good, because that means that as you would go on, your hands and your feet become more and more damaged until they come to this state. This lady's hands are no use to her anymore. She's really lost her fingers because of all kinds of injuries that she has suffered. In Jesus' day, leprosy was regarded as a slow form of death. If that's not bad enough, what the Old Testament says about the leper makes it even worse. Just turn back with me for a moment to those verses we read from Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 13. If you want to look at the verses we read last, first of all, verse 45, page 113. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his moustache, which tells you it was normally in men that leprosy came, sometimes in women, mostly in men, and cry, "Unclean, unclean." He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His habitation shall be outside the camp. Lepers were cut off from everybody else, even from their own families. In fact, the word leper today has come to mean an outcast, someone who is untouchable. But why go into this disease of leprosy in all this dreadful detail? For two reasons, really. To let you see what a serious case this leper in Mark chapter 1 is. This is not just an easy disease that might go away by itself. Perhaps we might compare the leper to someone suffering from cancer today. And secondly, to let you know that there is a spiritual form of leprosy that is just as bad. In fact, it's worse, for that leprosy is sin. And that leprosy affects every one of us from even before when we were born. By nature, we're all blind to the glory of God in His world. We're deaf to God's voice when He speaks in His word. Our mouths are full of bitterness. Our minds and imaginations are twisted. We love what is mean, what is cheap. We're full of sores. This leper has something to say to all of us. And today I want to show you through the leper what Jesus can do for a person. Any person, no matter how serious your sin is. He's the only one who can cure this disease and who can make you clean. And Jesus is doing here what only God can do. So who is He? Yes, Jesus is God. In this passage, Jesus makes a leper clean. And that's what we can call the passage. Jesus makes a leper clean. And let's just break the story down into three parts. First of all, a compassionate cleansing. A compassionate cleansing. Verse 40. Then a leper came to Jesus, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him and saying to Him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Can you picture this? This man living in caves, maybe, among the rocks, away from ordinary people. Either he's living on his own, or he's living with people just as sick as he is. Can you see his diseased face with running sores, his ragged clothes, a flimsy cloth over his mouth to keep the leprosy away from other people? He doesn't really need to wheeze out unclean. People can see it for themselves. He has to stay 100 meters away from anybody else. He can't even touch his own wife or his own children. And this is all taking place in a town where Jesus is staying. The people in the town know what this man is. And you can see them shrinking away from him. You can see them pulling their children away. Leprosy was thought to be the punishment of God. Yet this man has heard about Jesus. He's heard that Jesus can heal all kinds of sickness, even people who are demon-possessed. He's heard that Jesus is different. And that's why he risks the hatred of the people in the town to come near to Jesus. He knows how vile he is. He can see his own hands and feet. He can see the misshapen faces of other lepers. He knows his disease will kill him. But he also believes desperately, that in Jesus there is hope. He implores Jesus. He kneels down to Jesus. He says to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He's at the end of himself. There's nothing that he can do for himself. And he begs Jesus for help. Now, Jesus is the only perfectly pure person there has ever been. For other people to call this man unclean isn't really a great idea, because they're unclean too in different ways. But Jesus isn't. Jesus could rightly turn away in disgust from this man. But look, Jesus isn't horrified by the man. But he is horrified by the disease. I would like to make a change just here to what you're looking at in verse 41, where it says, "And Jesus moved with compassion." I would like to say that that word instead should be anger. And Jesus moved with anger. Some old copies of the New Testament have the word anger. And some people copying that out couldn't really understand it. And so they tried to soften it and took out the word anger and put in the word compassion instead. As I say, Jesus is not angry with the man. His heart is moved with pity for the man. Look at what he does. He put out his hand and he touched the man. I'm sure no one at all had dared to touch this man for years. Not even his own wife. Yet this Jesus, whom he hardly knows, does this thing, this amazing thing, this unheard of thing. Jesus touches a leper, an unclean one, an untouchable. And just listen to what Jesus says. He said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." The man has heard about Jesus' power, but he's not sure how willing Jesus is to help. That's why he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus has so many calls on his time. But the man needn't have worried. But why is Jesus angry? I want you to see here, and we will see it again in a few weeks' time in Mark chapter 3, that there is an anger that's free from sin. Jesus is angry at what the leprosy has done to this man. How low it has brought him. How miserable he is. And Jesus is angry at Satan. Because it's as if Satan is holding up this man in front of Jesus to say to Jesus, "Just look what I can do to a person." And then, in the twinkling of an eye, the leprosy is gone. Verse 42. As soon as Jesus had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Not a lump left, not one white patch of skin, and perfect hands and feet and eyes and nose now, and a voice to praise God. It's a miracle. A cleansing with compassion. From leper to ex-leper. From outcast to somebody welcome in every home. Simply because Jesus is willing. Simply because Jesus is God. But secondly, let's look at the deeper cleansing here. A compassionate cleansing, and then the deeper cleansing. Verse 43. And Jesus strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." Now these words are even stronger than what we've just read. That strictly in verse 43 is really a sternly. Where it says, Jesus sent him away. That's the very same word that's used in verse 34. And again in verse 39, whenever Jesus is casting out demons. And where it says, "See that you say nothing to anyone," in verse 44, what Jesus is saying is, don't even think about saying anything to anyone. Now, what's going on here? A few minutes ago, Jesus was all compassion. But now he's stern and he's firm. You see, Jesus knows how easily people can be led astray by a miracle like this. Isn't that why Jesus went out early in the morning into the hills to pray to his Father in verse 35? Jesus had a purpose to fulfill, but it wasn't to heal every sick person in Israel. Yes, Jesus did heal sick people when they came to him, but Jesus didn't go looking for sick people. And his healing, his cleansing indeed, because that's the word Mark uses four different times in this passage, this cleansing points to something deeper. And that's why Jesus gives the man these orders. He sends him to the priest in Jerusalem. Now that's quite some distance away. The priest in Jerusalem isn't just a man of religion. He's also a man of medicine. And if you study the Old Testament, there's actually quite a good healthcare system in the Old Testament. It was supervised by the priest. Again, keep your finger in Mark chapter 1. Turn back again to Leviticus chapter 13. And this time to the early verses of the chapter on page 111. Page 111, just at the beginning of the chapter. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priests. The priest shall look at the sore in the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall look at him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. And then at the end of 7 days, as verse 6 says, the priest shall pronounce him clean." So this man is supposed to go to the priest, and he's supposed to say, well, first of all, the priest is to examine him, and the priest is to say to him, "Well, you tell me you were a leper, but I can see that you're not a leper anymore. I have examined you, and somehow you've been cured of your leprosy." And then the cleansed man would say, "Jesus of Nazareth cured me of my leprosy." And the priest would have to agree. Now, what would this tell the priest? The priest went by this law of Moses that we've just been reading. And that law can condemn a man to live outside the camp if he's found to have leprosy. Or that law could declare a man or a woman clean if there was no sign of leprosy. But what the law of Moses couldn't do was actually cleanse anybody. Yet, in the case that we've just been reading, Jesus has cleansed the man. So what does that mean? It means that Jesus is greater than the law of Moses. Every Jew knew that leprosy was a picture of sin. If Jesus can deal with leprosy, then surely he's the one who's come to deal with sin. That's the deeper cleansing here. Yes, Jesus can heal leprosy, that most horrible and deadly disease, but he can also heal sinners, no matter what their sins. And that's where you and I come in. Whoever you are today, you need a compassionate cleansing. You may not have any serious diseases in your body, but we all need this deeper cleansing that Jesus came to bring. I know that many of you here today have already experienced that cleansing. And to do so takes just two things. First of all, you've got to realize that you have a fatal disease. Stop pretending you're all right. The disease of sin affects every part of you, outside and inside. It affects your thoughts, it affects your plans, it affects the words that come from your mouth, it affects the things you do. And that sin, if it's left untreated, will make you more and more deformed until it kills you. Sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't think I'm exaggerating. If that leper, and let's just come back again to Mark chapter 1. If that leper hadn't come to Jesus, he would have died. If you don't come to Jesus, you will die in your sin. And that means hell. Something far worse than leprosy. Not some halfway house where you get a second chance. Not just nothingness. Not just being wiped out after you die. Not just pain for a while. But unending, conscious punishment in hell. You probably won't all know who I mean when I mention the name Rock Hudson. Rock Hudson was a famous movie star some time ago. I remember seeing him come on to the Terry Wogan show in the last days of his life. And he looked awful. A big frame of a man. The healthy happiness was gone. He was just a shell of his former physique, with his eyes sunk into his skull. AIDS had eaten away at him. Terry Wogan told him, I think he had to, that he looked wonderful. But the truth was there for all to see. If you're not a believer in Jesus today, don't believe it when the mirror or when other people tell you that you look wonderful. Because you have a killer disease that's worse than AIDS. Face the truth. Don't run away from it anymore. Instead, do what this leper does. Run to Jesus. Come on your knees to him. Because only he can cure you. Only he has the compassion. Only he has the power you need. He's willing. He can make you clean. That's the second part. First, admit that you're sunk in sin and that your sin is killing you. Second, see that Jesus can cleanse you. Now, the Old Testament law tells us that anyone who touched a leper became unclean, as well as running the risk of catching the disease himself. So for this leper to be made clean, what has to happen? Jesus has to become unclean. Isn't that what the cross is all about? the Jews called leprosy the stroke of God. On the cross, Jesus was struck by God because of the sin of his people. Because of pride in your own performance. Because of wanting to stand on your own two feet. Because of thinking that you deserve God's kindness. You see, God can rightly send any one of us to hell for our sin. Because our sin is as disgusting to God as leprosy was to the Jews. But, and this is the good news today, this is the verse that we began with. But God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin in the place of every believer, to bear our punishment, so that in Jesus we might receive God's righteousness, God's cleansing, God's complete forgiveness. That's the deeper cleansing here. Yes, leprosy killed in Jesus' day, but sin kills today. One out of one people will die. No matter what bookmaker you go to, you won't get any odds anywhere that you're going to live forever in this world. But only those whose sin has not been cleansed will die forever. Do you think God would have sent his only son to a cross if there was some other way? Jesus has come to take the uncleanness of sin, to take the horror of death to himself, so that all who come to him in the filthiness of your sin might have his cleansing and his life. And the good news today is you don't have to wait for real life to start. This leper is transformed on the spot. Jesus can cleanse you on the spot. See his compassion today. Know his power to cleanse. Cry out to him for this deeper cleansing. And if he has already dealt with your sin, is there any other good thing that you need that he's going to keep from you? He has died for you, believer. Are you living for him? A compassionate cleansing, the deeper cleansing. And finally, in this passage, we have the disobedience of the cleansed one. The disobedience of the cleansed one. Look at verse 45. But the cleansed leper went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every quarter. Quite clearly, this healed leper doesn't do as he's told. Jesus doesn't want his name shouted round town for the wrong reasons. Jesus has come to rescue people from sin, not as a welfare worker or as a miracle doctor. The people swamp Jesus because they want their bodies healed, because they want their dull lives brightened up. They're not interested in this deeper cleansing that Jesus has come to bring. Now, we don't even know if this man goes to the priest at all. Why was it that Jesus wanted him to go there? Look again at the end of verse 44. As a testimony to them, to the priests, Now you can read that two different ways. As a testimony to show the priests that Jesus has the power to do what no one else can do. To make the priests ask, who can this be? To bring the priests to real faith in him. That's one way to look at it. Or the other way, to show the priests that Jesus has cleansed this man as a testimony against them. To show them that Jesus is God, the only Savior. To show them that if they just stick to their old religion and ignore Jesus, then they will not be saved. Is Jesus at the center of your life today? Or is it something else? Or someone else? The man's disobedience means that Jesus has to be outside now, in deserted places. And do you see how, even in that way, that he has changed places with the leper? It was the leper who used to live outside in deserted places. Do you see what it costs to cleanse? Jesus can only bring new life by surrendering up his own life. And just notice too from this verse, there's also a time to be silent. Yes, God does want us to get the message out about Jesus. But there is a time to work quietly in God's kingdom. If whenever you speak to people about Jesus, all they do is mock you and misunderstand you and poke fun at Jesus, then don't speak to them about Jesus. But even in those deserted places, Jesus is bearing fruit. Just look at the end of the verse. They still came to him from every quarter. There are people in this city who are searching for something, and they don't even know what it is. You need to have found what they're searching for, who they're searching for. Jesus, as the one who has cleansed you. And then you need to bring them to him. Either as you would open his word yourself to them and show them what he's been teaching you, or as you would bring them here on the Lord's Day, so that they may meet Jesus for themselves. May you not be like this man, pulled offline by secondary things. May you instead know the cleansing and the power and the love that only Jesus can bring. Let's stand to praise him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this lovely passage. This passage does show us the ugliness of sin. It shows us that sin is more than skin deep, that sin makes everything stink, that sin separates us from others, that sin ends in death, eternal death. But Lord, we thank you too that it shows us the power and the compassion of your Son. Lord, may we obey your word, those of us who love Jesus today, in order to expand your kingdom. Lord, may we not just do what we think is right, but may our lives be governed by what your word says. And may you be pleased to use our testimony. Lord, we pray for any today still in the grip of sin. We pray that you would help them really to see what Jesus has done on the cross, so that they may be cleansed. Help them not to wait any longer, but to come to Jesus, to ask him and to be cleansed. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll close our service today by singing part of Psalm 51a. What better psalm to close with to think about cleansing? Psalm 51a on page 104. And we're going to sing stanza 1 and then stanzas 4 and 5 to the tune Petra, number 240. And this is really just asking us, or encouraging us, to ask God to cleanse us. This is really a prayer. This is David's prayer for cleansing. May you make it your own prayer for cleansing, whether you're asking God to cleanse you for the first time or for the 101st time. And stanza 1 lets us see that God cleanses us from all our sins, from transgressions, from iniquities, from sin. Stanza 4 lets us see that this cleansing makes us whiter than the snow. And it's only the power of Jesus' death that can work such a cleansing, that can make us perfect in God's sight. So as you sing these stanzas, may this be your prayer to God. Psalm 51a, 1, 4, and 5.
Lord, be merciful to me. On your grace I rest my plea. In your vast abounding grace, my transgressions all erase. Cleanse me thoroughly within, from iniquity and sin. Then with hyssop sprinkle me, and I pure and clean will be. Wash me from my sin, and so I will whiter be than snow. Make me hear joy's gladdening voice. Bones you've broken will rejoice. From my sins all hide your face. My iniquities erase. Make a clean heart in me, God, and a spirit true afford. Cast me not from you away. Let your Holy Spirit stay.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.